Welcome to KC by Sari, a podcast for Kansas City enthusiasts. I'll take you behind the scenes and you'll learn why this Midwestern gem is so special. In today's episode, I talked to Rachel, owner of Fika Coffee, a mobile coffee cart serving the KC metro area. Fika is a Swedish word that translates to take a break for coffee and a sweet treat. Here's Rachel to talk about staying true to her Swedish roots and where you can find her coffee cart.
KC by Sari. If you want to know where to go and what is on trend, KC by Sari, she's your friend.
Where did the name Fika come from?
Yeah, so Fika is actually a Swedish word. It means to take a coffee break. There's not like a set definition. It's more about the like act of sitting down with friends, family, and enjoying coffee and a sweet treat. So a traditional fika is done with a sweet treat and coffee. My dad's side is 100% Swedish, so that's how it came about. A practice that we did when we went to my grandparents' house. The joke was always that all we did was eat and drink things at grandma and grandpa's house because traditionally you have two fika breaks a day at like 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So that's where the name came about.
Has owning a business always been something that you wanted? Is this like a dream come true for you?
Yes. So I started working in the hospitality industry when I was 14. My first job was a server for weddings and special events at a golf course. And then shortly after that, I just learned I was naturally really good at it. So I started exploring. I was on a culinary competition team in high school and just found a passion for it. And my dad was always a coffee lover. So that was kind of like our thing that we shared and kind of experimented with. But I do think coffee shops in the coffee industry serves a unique purpose in the world of like hospitality. Often people talk about like the third place or having coffee shops be a key part of like their work life or relationships or a first date. And so the community aspect of it has always been the dream. In a form of ministry, I viewed it as. And so it started in high school, and it's been a dream I've been pursuing since basically my junior year of high school. So it does very much feel like I have finally done it.
That's so cool to be able to look at what you've accomplished and having a dream that you've had for so long, and now you are doing the thing that you have wanted to do.
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting because over the years, that dream changed a lot. You know, a lot of tears, a lot of joy, a lot of trying to figure out what I really wanted to look like. And the coffee cart, being transparent, isn't necessarily what I envisioned. I always envisioned having a space. That's what I'm working towards. But I feel like it's where I'm supposed to be right now. And it's cool going into a event space, into someone's corporate office, and creating a sense of community for the hour, hour and a half, 2 hours that you're there. So there's a unique opportunity that feels really special to me.
Yeah. How did you decide to start with the coffee cart as opposed to first getting a full space and diving right into a full coffee shop?
That really plays into like my spiritual life. Again, this is my coffee shop I've always wanted. And hospitality in general, I just see there's a unique opportunity to love people well through serving them, through creating community. And I really, really stressed out for many years about starting at the right time, you know, waiting for that like aha moment. Was praying one day at a coffee shop, and I felt like Jesus was like, yeah, so there's never going to be this moment, so you just got to do it, and I'll meet you in the middle. And so literally the next day, I filed for like my business license name, and I just started doing it. So the cart was the most tangible next step, and it was more affordable than doing a trailer or jumping straight into a storefront.
How were you getting your name out there with your coffee shop when you first started and working these events and making those connections within the community?
Yeah, so I basically just made a brain dump. I had a web in my room above my like bedside table, and anytime I saw something or I thought of an opportunity, I just wrote it down, and then I just committed to reaching out to people. So, I mean, the first 4 months, I wouldn't say I, like, made any money. I mean, I consistently showed up places, and sometimes I served 0 cups of coffee, sometimes I served 2. So it definitely is, like, a full circle moment now that I'm, like, at the market and doing events, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're actually, like, you know, making profit now and doing something. But at the beginning, it was really just trying to get my name out there as much as I could and making connections with people. I do have a really supportive family and community and a group of people who also helped with that. But yeah, it was a lot of trial and error, a lot of just trusting the process and knowing that yeah, that eventually will come.
Before we sat down and started this recording, you mentioned that you make your own syrup. So how did you come up with the recipe that you're using for your drinks?
Yeah, so it's funny. A lot of people, I think making syrups is hard, and it's really not. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it. Like, there's a creative component of, you know, looking at a recipe and tweaking it or thinking of a combination. But really, the base I use for all my recipes is a 1-to-1 ratio of sugar and water. So I always tell people at the market, like, when people comment about my syrups, I'm like, encourage them to, you know, try and have fun with it, because really all I do is do half, one ratio, like, cup of sugar, cup of water, and then I build off that with different spices. But that's where my culinary, like, creative side likes to come out. That's how I kind of express my creativity through my cart.
What have been some of your favorite parts of being a business owner, having the coffee cart? And are there any special memories you've had with certain events you've worked? You mentioned being part of the Overland Park Farmers Market. Anything like that that has really stood out to you as something that has been really, really special?
I think some of my favorite parts of being a business owner is just having the pride and ownership of, like, I did this. I'm doing hard things. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Obviously, anyone who's a business owner knows that. And there's so many sides of it that people don't see. But there's so many times that I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And knowing that I went for my dream, I'm doing it, and I'm making a difference in changing people's lives in the process is really, really cool for me. Biggest aha moment was the first Overland Park Farmers Market day. I knew it was going to be really busy. I did not know how busy meant. And so it was one of those, like, surreal moments of, like, seeing my line. I thought eventually the line was going to just stop, and it never did. It was, like, always 30 people deep, which was super humbling and super encouraging just to see. And oftentimes still at events, I have moments of, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm getting paid to make people coffee right now. Like, just little moments like that of the reality of what I'm doing and pursuing my dream hits, and those are always really fun moments for me.
How did you get connected with the Overland Park Farmers Market?
Grew up going to the Overland Park Farmers Market, and I remember going, I actually worked the Overland Park Farmers Market with Ivy's Bakery at back in college, so I had kind of a taste of the market world, and I remember going to the markets, enjoying it, and so that's kind of where my first initial introduction to it was. When it comes to, like, my business and being part of it, the tension I have is doing private events and getting my name out there, but also knowing that one day I want to have a storefront, so I want to kind of have that following before I get to that point. So the farmers market, I strategically picked that market because I was told, and I saw businesses, small businesses getting launched and getting storefronts after that market, and the culture and the support from that market is nothing I have ever experienced before. So I'm very grateful for my market family and for everyone that has supported me through that.
What are some other professional goals that you have? Is there a dream event that you would love to work?
So the market was kind of one of them. The market I thought would be really cool. So I did that. There is, through WedKC, there's, like, this vendor gala that's super cool. And it's basically just the wedding industry, a ton of vendors nominating vendors, and it's kind of like the Grammys, I guess, but for the wedding industry. And so that is something on my vision board that's not necessarily an event, but that is a form of recognition that I would love to be a part of, mainly just because I believe so much in the wedding industry, and I have seen people, other vendors, really, really support me, champion me, and just love me well through that. And so I think it'd be cool to celebrate that.
I imagine that working weddings and being part of that special day is really special for you as a business owner to get to be there and surrounded by all that excitement.
Yeah, I mean, it's a humbling experience for sure. Anytime someone books you for the event, the fact that they are trusting you to execute well, you know, create, again, community and serve their guests, that in itself is humbling. Adding on to, it's like one of your biggest days, you know, of a lot of people's life. And so it's really cool. I mean, my team will make fun of me because I cry at the vows all the time. I don't know these people, you know? But I just think it's really beautiful that we get to be a part of people's lives like that.
What are some challenges that you face in being a business owner? Some hurdles you've really had to jump over the last few years?
Yeah. I mean, I think every event, especially when I first started, now I have, like, a process. Unless it's, like, a brand new event, you know, really stretching and growing us, I'm pretty confident in our execution. But when I first started, you know, you're learning on the fly. Things are happening. And one of our core values is adaptability, because when you're going into, it's not like you're inviting people into your space. You're going into their space. So there's a lot of like unknown factors that happen. And so I train my team for that. The other one is, I would say, which again, we've talked about this, is the tension of always feeling like you need to do more. My motto for 2024 is burnout will not be my badge of honor. Mainly because I think in the hospitality industry, but as an entrepreneur, you can work yourself till you're just have nothing left. And I've always said that I wanted to set an example for my team, for my family one day, for whoever, that you can still be a successful business owner and still have that boundary of I am more than what I do. I'm more than who I serve. And my identity doesn't solely lie in that. So that's something that has been something I've held on to this year.
So what are you doing to try to avoid that burnout and making sure that you are still doing what you love, on top of it, handling your team and what needs to get done?
Yeah. So one, it's expanding. You know, it comes to a point that you just have to do it. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm feeling like I have more capacity to hand things off to people, to train people well, to equip others. In my personal life, a lot of it's just setting boundaries for myself of, okay, if I feel the need to send an email at 9 p.m., will that person actually respond at 9 p.m.? No. So can it wait till the morning? And little moments like that of just kind of like stepping back. And when you're stressed and you feel that tension, it can feel like, well, if I just knock it out, it's going to be better. But oftentimes I've found that if I just like walk away for an hour and then come back, or like go on a run and work out and come back, that the thing I was really stressed about actually doesn't feel as stressful. So I'm trying to kind of create healthy boundaries of still doing things that are life-giving to me, even if it's for 30 minutes, an hour a day. And then that kind of naturally helps me kind of, I guess, reprioritize the rest of my day after that. Now, I'm not saying I do that well all the time. Like, I really don't. I don't want to make it sound like I figured this out. But that's what I am trying to implement more.
To be able to recognize in yourself, setting boundaries and doing what you can to set yourself up for success, I think is great, because it is hard. I think a lot of people, especially business owners in any industry, it's a juggling game. You really have to figure out what works best for you personally and professionally.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it too is reminding myself I'm not a robot. Like, I'm a human being, you know. If there's something going on in my personal life, it makes sense why I cannot function at work, you know, or if I got 3 hours of sleep, it makes sense. And so giving myself the grace and knowing that not everyone will give me grace, but there's a lot of people, if I'm transparent, will give me the grace that I need. So.
Do you have any fun specialty drinks that you feel like Fika Coffee is really known for, or something that you really enjoy making above other drinks?
Yeah, so our cardamom syrup is like our classic. So the vanilla bean and cardamom syrup are our two classic syrups. They're at every event. They come with every package. And we actually call our cardamom syrup, when people order it, we write Cardi B on the cup. So it's kind of become like this fun thing that people love going to the markets, having their Cardi B. It's just like our fun way. So I would say that's probably like one of our most well-known drinks. And people specifically come buy my syrup or come to our stand for that. So that's probably like our staple, what we're known for. Our chai, it is a sweeter chai, but a lot of people love our chai, so that's probably our second. And then beyond that, with every private event I book, I create a specialty drink for that event. So I usually ask them, do they have like a flavor they like, or, you know, do they have like a theme? So in May, we're doing a staff appreciation, and it's a reputation theme with Taylor Swift. So little things like that, when I have the opportunity to create something unique, is really fun for me.
Where are you sourcing your coffee from?
Yeah, so I use a roaster called Notion. They're located in Grandview right now. And so I really wanted to just do something different. I was looking at out-of-state, you know, roasters for a while. There was one, I lived in Wisconsin for a while. They used to be called Kickapoo. They're now Wonderstay. I was looking at them for a while. But I was actually at Prefix Coffee, which is the coffee shop owned by Notion. And the owner just came up to me. We were talking about this accounting book I was reading, and yeah, it ended up just being one of those moments that we connected, and I tried their coffee and did a tasting, and I did a coffee tasting with my friends, and hands down, everyone picked Notion over the other beans I had. So that's how I kind of decided to use them.
Are there any menu items that you've been working on that will sort of be debuting during your upcoming busy season?
Yeah, so we had the Brambleby last year that we'll bring back. It is a blackberry honey syrup, and that was really popular at the market. So we'll be starting our summer menu with that. I don't know if it'll start next week, but it'll be soon. And then I also did a dreamsicle, which is like an orange vanilla bean, this past month, and it was really popular. So I think I'll do that for the market as well. So a lot of like kind of citrusy fun ones. We do cold brew at the market, so I think it'd be fun to eventually do like a cold foam or add an extra layer to that. But yeah, so those are some of them I'm excited about.
Yeah.
A lot of times I just have my staff think about things. I'm a very, like, I like to execute. I love being creative, but sometimes the creativity can be, like, overwhelming, or I just don't feel like I have the capacity for it. So if someone comes to me and is like, I have this idea, I'm like, great, tell me it, I'll make it happen. So I love empowering my team to, like, think of fun drinks to add.
What are some of the most popular events that you've worked?
Yeah, so I would say staff appreciation is the most common thing we get. A lot of corporate offices, we work a lot with like Lockton, Pulcinelli, and then a lot of just like smaller businesses too that want me to come in and just serve their staff. And that goes for schools as well. For schools, depending on like what the event, the bottle lattes are super popular. So I would say half my events, most of my events are espresso bar, but my bottle lattes have become a fan fave for many, and they're a really great grab and go option. And so I would say those are probably the most two popular things I offer. And then staff appreciation, corporate events during the week, and then weddings. My first year, I'll be very transparent, were not super popular, which was kind of shocking to me. Going into like starting FICA, I didn't necessarily have like, I only want to do weddings, or I only want to do this. It was really just kind of seeing what is popular. But this year, I got a lot of wedding inquiries, which has been really exciting. And I'm partnering with WedKC to do some advertising, and so I'm excited to that I've stepped into that more this year. So
that's great. Well, in the wedding industry, especially someone who is engaged and very much involved in wedding industry stuff right now, but it's becoming so much more common for people to get married on Fridays and Sundays and other days of the week. I had an old coworker who I think had a couple weddings on Thursdays, and so now I believe people really are making weddings their own and not necessarily not getting away from too much tradition, but at the same time really making the wedding what they want and putting different twists on it. Because, you know, 20 years ago you wouldn't have seen a coffee bar pop up at a wedding, but now there's all these cool options and people feel like they can really do what matches them and what they want. And I think that is the coolest thing about weddings in general, is that everyone's style is so different. Everyone's wants and priorities are so different. So when you go to a wedding, it really feels like you know the couple. And so for people who are major coffee lovers and want that part of their day, like, it's so cool that that's an option and that people have the opportunity to incorporate things that really feel like it represents them as individuals and a couple to celebrate their big day with others.
Absolutely. And I think even like the idea of dry weddings are becoming more popular. People have less stress about needing bars to be there, you know, or having both. I always tell people, when you book me, you're not just booking someone to make good coffee. You're booking an experience. You're booking me and my team coming in and creating community and serving people and interacting with people and engaging with your guests. And so for me, like, that's especially strong in weddings. And it's cool to kind of like be on that journey with people. But yeah, I totally agree. I feel like the wedding industry is having that shift right now, and experiences and making it their own is becoming more popular, and that's really exciting.
When you're able to take moments for yourself and really step back, try to not think about work, what does life in Kansas City look like for you?
Yeah, so I love just creating opportunity. I love going to different coffee shops. So that is a passion I have. And I love sitting on a patio, journaling, just listening to music, taking time to kind of step back. So that's kind of like how I pour back into myself. Beyond that, I love hip-hop dancing. I started, there is an adult dance studio called Dance Fit Flow. I had to pause, like, over the past few months, my membership there. But that was about 2 years ago, kind of like my saving grace. It was a hobby I started because I found out I have a bad habit of turning hobbies into businesses. And so I needed something that I couldn't turn into a business. And I figured surely dancing, I wouldn't be a good enough dancer to make that happen, at least anytime soon. So I love dancing. And it's been a joy that I've had, whether it's hip hop, whether it's contemporary heels, just trying something different. And so that's been something that's really fun.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite go-to coffee shops?
One of my all-time favorites right now is Bare Necessities, which is off 87th Street and kind of like by the Johnson County Library off 87th Street. So Spencer, super cool dude. He actually let me store my milk at his place when I first kind of started with the markets because I had like one refrigerator, cute thinking that I could store all my milk there. And I quickly was like, this is not going to work. So he saved me. And so that is honestly like by far my favorite. I also love Oddly Correct, Second Best, Blip. So I have a couple, and I have different categories. Like I have my ones I want to go study at, my ones that I want to socialize with people at, you know, different things like that. But those are some of my favorites.
I love that Kansas City has such a great assortment of coffee shops that's sort of geared towards all different needs for different individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because Kansas City has so many shops, but I think what you said, you like nailed it. It's every coffee shop creates its own little community. It creates its own safe space. And so I feel like that's why you still see coffee shops continue to pop up and they're thriving because people have found a way to create like that unique community for their shop, which is really cool to see.
As someone who's constantly always trying to go to new places and try new things, Dan and I recently just went to Bisou by the West Side, which was so great, you know, so cute. And we're similar to the way we do it with restaurants is we are always looking for new coffee shops, constantly on Instagram. And I'll say, oh my gosh, I didn't know about this coffee shop. Or there's still coffee shops that Dan hasn't been to that I've been to and vice versa. And we're always trying to say, okay, on a Saturday or Sunday, what are we doing today? Do we want to try a new coffee shop? Do we want to make kind of a day out of it? Where is it in town? And then as people who are self-proclaimed explorers, we'll usually use the coffee shop to plan out the rest of the day of, oh, if it's in Lenexa, what else is over here? What haven't we been to? Can we pop into a bakery or, you know, any other kind of thing? And so it's a great jumping off point for weekend plans. That's how I like to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Usually when I'm planning out like my weekend or, you know, if I'm hanging out with my roommate, I mean, the first thing is, okay, well, where are we getting coffee first and what time, you know, cause that starts the day for us or whatnot. So
yeah. How many cups of coffee do you think you drink on average a day? Do you want to disclose that
information? I will. Yeah. So I'm actually working with a health coach right now. And so we're trying to like reel it in. I at least have two cups a day, usually. If I'm, like, busy week at an event, I usually will average, like, six shots of espresso. I have done eight in a day. That was it was too much. Usually when my eye starts twitching and I'm, like, getting the shakes, that's when I know we've gone too far. And it's a very fine line. Like, you can feel good, and then once you have that next one, your body's... You know very quickly if you overdid it. But yeah, I would say at least two cups a day. My problem is I have an addiction to espresso. So I have an addiction to buying coffee. As much as I love making coffee at my space, and if I make it at my space, that's cool. But at home, I don't make coffee. I either go somewhere and make it at my space, but we don't mess with just like drip coffee at my house, which is not great for the bank account.
What are some other favorite businesses in Kansas City you love to support?
Ooh, that's a good question. So there is a boutique called Ensemble in Overland Park, and I partnered with them for like a few events, and so that's been like a really cool partnership I have, and I like supporting them. String Hall, I love going there for dinner and just hanging out there. Yeah, I honestly don't, I'm not a shopper. Like for me, I will go and shop with people, but I do not shop a ton. So those were two off the top of mind I thought of.
Any favorite restaurants that are really some of your go-tos?
So I love Mexican food, anything Mexican food. I would say, so my go-to like on the daily, there's a La Viva Tacos and Tequila off 135th. They have really good margarita flights, and they have, like, these tacos that are kind of like a melted cheese burrito outer shell. Really good. I go there a lot. And that's probably one of, like, my favorite Mexican restaurants, or K Machos. I also love a burger. My favorite burger place is Tay's in North Casey. There used to be one off 151st, but they are no longer there. So I really like Tay's. That's a good burger place. Yeah, so those are two off the top of my head right now. Yeah. Again, with food, anything, like, we have to break it down to categories, and then I have, like, a list of my top five in each category. So that question for me always, I make it more complicated than it needs to be, I think.
Off the top of your head, are there any new businesses or new-to-you businesses that you have tried recently?
I actually really like doing vendor events because I get to share, like, the experience with other vendors, but there's also, like, a lot of different shops that I had no idea about because they're kind of doing what I'm doing. You know, they don't have a storefront. They're popping up at vendor events. So, like, the Spring Chick event is something I'm a part of, and I always love doing that because there's a lot of, like, boutiques there. AJ Modest or Modernist is one that I really like. They have earrings, and they're really pretty, and so I like them a lot. And so I just did a vendor event called Vintage Market Days a few weeks ago. And so I felt like I got to experience new vendors there. And those are, like, really fun for me. I also like trading. I love a good trade. So I try to negotiate some trades. Coffee to candles, you know?
Hey, I do not blame you. I think I'd probably be doing the same. Well, those vendor events to Kansas City, and I've talked about it on this podcast with various business owners, but even just the pop-up world within Kansas City, now that First Fridays are back, mm-hmm. and, you know, First Weekends at West Bottoms, there's so many different opportunities. As a consumer, as well, those events are so fun because you also get to see and meet vendors that you might not have known prior. I've loved going to events, again, from, like, my perspective and on the consumer side, just to be able to put a face and a name to the business and get to have that interaction. So on the business end as well, I'm sure those connections are equally as fun because then you're connecting with other businesses and potentially could lead to other business opportunities. And that's the best part about networking and connecting, is you never know what one conversation will lead to.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. When I always tell people, when I do vendor events, or even, like, with when I go to wedding networking things, you know, it's not just about my coffee, it's about building that community, not just with my customers, but having a support system of vendors that we can help each other, you know, direct people to each other's businesses, and just know that we have a group of, like, women, or, you know, even if it's not a woman-owned business, just championing you and helping you out, which is really encouraging. So
what is a fun fact about yourself, something that maybe would surprise listeners to learn about you?
In college, my senior year, my junior year going into my senior year of college, I studied abroad and did an internship in Nanjing, China. So that was a 6-month internship. I was doing manager and training program with Hilton Hotels. I mean, I'll be very honest, the internship was not what it said it was going to be. Moving across the world for 6 months, you don't really realize how wild it is until, like, you're on the airplane going over there and you're like, holy smokes, like, I am not coming back for six months. And I've traveled beyond that, but that was the first really true, like, really adventurous thing I've ever done. For me, that was probably the hardest season I've in my life ever. I would not change it, though, because I grew so much as a person. And it did create this whole other side of me, like, adventurous side, showing myself that I can do something crazy and brave. And talk about doing hard things, like, you can do hard things, you know? And so that was probably, like, one of my favorite things. We did travel over there, so I went to Thailand, Japan, a variety of places in China. There were so many other places I want to see, but since we were doing a 40-hour week internship, I was limited on my, I traveled more than I probably should have. I kind of cheated the system a little bit, that's okay. So yeah, that was really cool for me.
Did that experience really give you the travel bug to continue to travel through after college and into your adult life?
Yeah. So I actually, my plan was when I graduated to travel to Europe and backpack with some of my friends. And they ended up doing that. However, my bank account was drained after spending 6 months abroad already. And I was hoping I was going to be able to, like, help get some funds just by doing random things. And it just didn't work out. So I ended up getting a job right after college, which was good. But it did, there's still a part of me that still has that desire to travel more. And I actually really liked, I learned that I like solo traveling. It's, I don't like it because as a high extrovert, it challenges me and it's not comfortable. But I feel like when I do travel and do solo travel, it does allow me to be present with myself and process things differently than if I'm with others. So I think it'd be cool to do like another solo trip. I haven't really traveled by myself since China. So I've always kind of thought it might be cool to do something like that, like a weekend trip or even a week trip, just to see how it feels again, I guess.
Have you ever thought about tying together your love for travel and Fika Coffee, maybe on a little more of a domestic way, but, you know, there's a lot of great cities and towns that are pretty close drive. So have you thought about bringing Fika to weddings or other events, maybe in sort of the tri-state area?
Yeah, I have thought about that. Actually, one of like the like fun dreams I had was just getting a van and decking out with coffee and living out of a van and selling coffee and just going to like different states. Through doing mobile events, I've learned there's like a lot of like weird things about like permits and different things. So that dream has kind of like been crushed, not crushed, but like I have had like the humble reality of realizing how hard that would be. But for private events, a lot of states, they don't really, not that they don't care, but like you're not, you don't have to have all these licenses to do like a private wedding or whatnot. So I do think it'd be cool. And if people reach out to me, I do travel different places. The farthest I've been right now is we did a wedding 3.5 hours away. So we can do it and we have done it. I think it'd be cool maybe to expand that eventually, but right now, just because of how many people I have and having one cart, we usually stick to the Kansas City area.
How many events typically per weekend right now are you booking?
Last year during busy season, I had 6 to 7 events every week from June to like October. So we were booking pretty consistently, a lot of those being Saturday and Sunday guaranteed. So right now I have a lot of Saturdays that we have at least 2 events at the market and then a wedding in the evening. And then we also are experimenting with even doing like 3 or 4 events because we have our alternative package, bottle lattes, cold brew bar, different things like that. So I'm still kind of like, not learning, but I'm still kind of gauging like, okay, so how many events can I really do? So this year I'm kind of like pushing myself to kind of see what we need to do. Eventually I would like to have a second cart. So that's something I'm exploring too, and to kind of see if we can build that way as well.
Can you go a little more in depth on the packages that you do offer?
Yeah. So my most popular one is my espresso bar. That is rented out hourly. So when you get that, you get unlimited drinks for the however many hours you book. How it usually works is people tell me what their guest count is, and then I do, like, I recommend a certain amount of hours. However, like for weddings, for example, if you have 200 people at your wedding, if you have a bar and other things, the likelihood of like 200 people getting coffee, if there's other options, not everyone's going to do it. So, you know, I might say this is a recommendation if you want to serve everyone. If you don't want to serve everyone, you can, you know, we could probably swing it with this many hours. So that's kind of how I determine the hours with them. What comes with that is my classic syrups. And then, like I said, I make a specialty drink for everyone. For weddings, I usually do like a couple drink, you know, or if they don't each want a drink, I'll do like a shared couple drink. And then I always do chai and hot chocolate. In the summer months, for specialty drinks, it's really common to do like Italian soda or a cold brew with some like fun cold foam or different things like that. So that's our most popular espresso bar. When people reach out to us, usually that's what they're looking for. The next one is my bottle lattes, which I don't know if you've seen photos of them, but they're the really cute. I do 3 different sizes, 5 ounce, 8 ounce, and 12 ounce, which the 5 ounce and 8 ounce are probably the most popular, especially for larger events. And it's a more cost-effective option. So especially for like nonprofits or schools who are on a budget, I always tell them that that's a really good way of still having amazing coffee. We customize the label to match their color schemes or whatever, and we can do like a bow. So we still make it really unique and intentional, but you can get more depending on what your event you're looking for. And then beyond that, we do cold brew bars, Italian soda bars. We do a mini coffee bar, which is basically just picking from a variety of like our pre-batch drinks and then going from there. We just got a machine called a ground control, which is basically like a large batch brewer, but it allows you to do espresso in large batches. So within the next few months, we'll launch like a, you can purchase a latte by the gallon and you can have it in like a cute little mason jar and serve your guests that way too as like a self-service kind of thing. So we're excited about that. I quickly learned like, okay, if I'm getting double booked, I have to have other options if I want this to grow. And so that's where a lot of those came out of too, is just being creative, learning, oh, this is a need, great, we'll add it.
What is the best way for someone to reach out to you to book you for an event?
Yeah, so the best way to reach out to me regarding events specifically is going to my website, which is www.ficacoffeekc.com. And there is a, like a get a quote tab. And so that's the easiest way. You fill out the form. That way it saves us both time from me having to ask you 5,000 questions. And it comes directly to my email. So I try to respond to inquiries within like 48 hours. You know, again, I'm human, so sometimes that doesn't happen, but that's the goal. And that's the best way. If someone reached, I shared this a little bit off when we weren't recording, but if someone reached out to me on Instagram, I usually direct them to that, mainly just because I know my mind and that's the easiest way I can organize it. But beyond that, Instagram and Facebook, I interact with a lot of people, other vendors through online platforms, and just like having conversations with people asking me. I get a lot of questions about other people wanting to open a coffee cart. And so I know you asked me a question a few questions ago about if are there other goals you have, and I think it'd be cool to eventually have some kind of program or class or resources that people can, you know, pay for me to do a mentorship with them. I love training. I love personal development. So having that component of helping empower people to start their own businesses and like doing public speaking within that and going to seminars or whatnot. So that's also on the dream board for later down in life.
I love that. Well, I love that you have such a clear kind of overall vision of where you want to go, things you are wanting to do. And like I said, to avoid burnout, you have all these other outlets of things that fill your cup and give you that passion in a similar way, which is great because I think it's really hard for people to find stuff like that. So it's great that you are manifesting what you're doing and working towards all these goals. And congrats on everything you've accomplished. The Overland Park Farmers Market is open. Excited for you for that season as well as for all the other events you have coming up this year.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're really excited. This year has already been like huge and we already have seen so much growth compared to our first year. So I'm excited to see what the market brings. And yeah, I love being able to interact with my regulars and having people know that they're choosing me to be a part of their weekend routine. Kind of like what you're talking about, being that place that people come as their first stop. That means a lot to me, so.
Congrats again on having such a great year and being able to accomplish everything you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Be sure to follow Fika on Instagram at @FikaCoffee_Casey and visit the website for more information to book your next event. Casey by Sari will be back next week as we learn about a budding business in Casey that despite industry changes, still faces many challenges. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss it. For more Casey content, follow me on Instagram at Casey by Sari. See you next week. Casey by Sari.